Welcome to Stories from the Park, a Heritage Park podcast. Hi, I'm Dominic Terry.
And I'm Kasiah Quill. Heritage Park is located on Treaty 7 land in Calgary, Alberta, a place where Indigenous people proudly share their heritage, traditions, and attachment to this land.
In this episode, we'll talk about a very abundant mineral in and around Calgary, sandstone. We'll talk about where it comes from, how it shaped the early landscape in Calgary, and the calls to have buildings made from it to be protected.
We'll also talk about the Sandstone House here at Heritage Park, which celebrated its 50th anniversary in 2023. Our guest is Harry Saunders, a longtime historian in Calgary and a one-time interpreter at Heritage Park.
Hey, Harry, thanks for joining us and talking about all things sandstone today.
Thank you, Dominic.
It's great to have you here, Harry. We have worked together on a few things before, and you've been a longtime Heritage Park friend, I would say. So we're happy to have you.
A staff alumnus.
Yeah, and a staff alumnus, a former staff member. So that's awesome. We are delighted to talk to you today about the idea of sandstone and Calgary as a sandstone city and learn more about that. So I think to kick off the questions here, we might ask something about where are we finding sandstone typically? Do you know kind of about the history of where it comes from and how it's been used historically?
Right. Well, the formation, now I'm no geologist, but I know that it's the formation is something like, 56 to 60 odd million years ago. And it's fluvial. So it's sand. It's the kind where particles stick together and are compressed underneath of everything that's over. So where we have sandstone, there used to be a river or a stream or something like that. The sand was deposited and then it was sort of smooshed together, to use a scientific term. And then we find it. So in Calgary, the Indigenous people, I'm sure, already knew it was there. They didn't need government geologists to come and tell them. But it was first identified as a potential building material in Calgary in 1884. And very quickly put to use. So before long, there were, upwards of two dozen quarries within what's now the city limits. One of the ones that everybody knows, or everybody who knows a little bit about local history, is there used to be one on 17th Avenue. There was this gully that sort of traversed 17th Avenue Southwest, just east of what's now Crowchild Trail. It was pretty much obliterated when they built the Crowchild Trail Freeway in the late 60s. But that was a big one. Another is, if anyone's a golfer, it's the Shaganappi Golf Course. There was the Edworthy quarries there, a government quarry, a CPR quarry, but also others along the rivers. And I think that's just because of the kind of erosion that takes place along a river. It cuts away the surface and exposes subsurface strata, including sandstone. So you had sandstone quarries at the confluence of the Bow and Elbow rivers, further west along the Bow and south on the Elbow. So, like, for example, where River Park is, for people who know Calgary's geography, the Calgary Golf and Country Club, there was an important quarry along there. Another in Sunnyside. So quite a few in Calgary, and I think particularly along the riverbanks.
Yeah, especially along where the reservoir is now, and the Calgary Golf and Country Club is kind of stuck right into the just north of that area there. You can see it along the banks of of where the reservoir is, or the new part of the reservoir anyway. Harry, why is Calgary a sandstone city? What's the history behind, kind of, there was obviously an event that happened and played an integral part in the history of the city.
That's right. The Great Fire that took place in early November of 1886. Now it's sort of there's this mythology that kickstarted, like, there was no sandstone development until that point. There was actually Calgary's first two sandstone buildings, which still exist. They're part of the Hyatt Hotel complex now on Stephen Avenue. They were already nearing completion or already completed at the time of that fire. So we were already edging in that direction. They demonstrated that sandstone was a viable building material. But that fire took down about 18 buildings in what was then a very small town, mostly built of wood. So that really pointed in that direction. They even had a bylaw saying, you know, within a certain fire zone, all public and major buildings have to be built of sandstone, something on that order. So that begins in 1886. And there's a couple of things I want to mention. One thing is, sandstone is a fire-resistant material. So if you build your building out of sandstone, then it's less likely to burn if there's a fire that's spreading from the building. But another is the fire insurance rate. And I think this had to have played a part in it, that if your building was sandstone resistant, such as a sandstone building, then you get a cheaper fire insurance rate.
Smart. I think I have a kind of a thing where everything in the past burned down at some point. Every town burns down. At least once.
Pretty much. Oh, I should mention, no, exactly so. So we, you know, we wouldn't be a city of note if we hadn't had our great fire. The one other thing I want to mention is, and you were alluding to it, is this led to a real building boom out of sandstone. So Calgary had a distinctive look, this rusticated sandstone, which was like a kind of a bumpy, rough look to the buildings, later changed when we styles changed and stone cutting equipment changed, and we had a smooth cut stone after that. But Calgary, as early as 1891 rather, the Globe, which is now the Globe and Mail, published out of Toronto, a newspaper, said, you know, Calgary is sure to become Canada's sandstone city, and that's the first reference I've seen to Calgary being termed the sandstone city. But it was well deserved. There were hundreds of buildings either built of sandstone or that used sandstone as part of their construction.
Harry, is that because it was so plentiful, or is it because it was easy to work with? What was kind of the reasoning behind this boom of sandstone building?
Boy, you know, I mean, I think it was a combination of factors. Readily available, you know, and you had people, you know, who recognized its value and who were quick to exploit it, you know, say business operators or retired Northwest Mounted Police officers who quickly homesteaded and either knew the sandstone was there or knew before long and exploited it. And, you know, I mean, as a frontier colonial society, we didn't have brick factories, let's say. So I think it was just readily available, you know, easier to work with than a harder stone like granite, I think. So a combination of factors.
Right. So this easy to work with, were they people who were skilled coming to work with the sandstone, or who was really coming to do the building?
Right. And I think it's a variety. You know, at first you look at some of the people who are starting up stone quarries. And I mean, the very first was a government quarry. So they must have had their own experts. It was in what's now Edworthy Park. But you had, you know, just basic settlers, farmers or businessmen. And I mean, I haven't found a woman who owned a quarry or operated a quarry. You know, I just think they're most of them probably untrained, but probably hired the trained people. Then you also get some of the people who have this kind of skill. Oliver's Quarry, we always hear of. That's the one that was the last one operating. And William Oliver was from Scotland, as so many of these people eventually were. He had a background in stonework. So did a couple of others who had come from Scotland and started setting this up. So to be honest, started out, I think, with just unskilled people who recognized the business opportunity, but they hired people who knew, and a lot of them did come from Scotland. And by the 1890s, something like half of the skilled tradesmen in Calgary were working in the stone industry. And would come from Scotland with experience.
Wow.
And how did that influence kind of when things were being built, and then the character of the city as it started, you know, as it came into the early 1900s, Alberta becomes a province. How does sandstone really, you know, influence the character of the city?
Right. Well, I think it, I mean, it has a heft to it, you know. I mean, you look like a permanent important place. And I think there's something unchanging about Calgary in that it has maybe it's changing now, but that it has to prove itself. It has to stand up on the national stage and say, hey, we're here. We're as good as Winnipeg, you know, maybe as good as Toronto. And so I think that lent something to it. I mean, there's more to this, but like you'll see postcards that were for sale, just showing a street scene of sandstone building after sandstone building on Stephen Avenue. Now they would have taken and sold those postcards anyway, but I just think that the nickname of Sandstone City, is, to the extent that it was used, and the identification of Calgary as having this look, really did mean something. I don't mean to overstate it, but I wouldn't understate it either. That Calgary had a look, and it had permanence, and it had gone from being, mounted police post and a few squatters and a little Métis settlement in the 1870s to a city, the first incorporated city in the Northwest Territories in 1894, with many, many substantial stone buildings, a real point of pride.
Right.
And Calgary was the source of stone for elsewhere, for some of the schools in other parts of the province. I think some of it, well, mind you, there was also an important quarry west of Calgary at Cochrane, the Glenbow Quarry. But I think some of it at least went to the provincial legislature.
Oh, wow. I'm thinking too about character of the city, not just built character. You kind of have a lot of these Scottish stonemasons coming down. So that, I imagine, influences a little bit of the culture of the city as well, with a large population of Scottish workers.
I think you're right, Kasaya. I think, Calgary sort of does have that tradition, and the naming of the city, a place name from Scotland, plays no small part of it too. I just have to tell you a quick anecdote that illustrates the point. I spoke with a guy who I know who had been the president of the St. Andrew's Caledonian Society here in Calgary, basically the Scottish club. And I asked him, oh, where do you guys meet? And he said, the Danish-Canadian club. And then he quickly added, we were so busy building the city that we neglected to build ourselves a clubhouse.
That's amazing.
Amazing.
One other thing I wanted to mention is the sandstone schools that were built in Calgary. There were something like 18 to 20 monumental schools built in the pre-First World War boom. So a period of about 10 years, let's say, or 20 years rather. And quite a few of them still exist. Some have been lost to demolition or fire, but some of them remain. In fact, one is now the Southern Alberta Government headquarters, the McDougall Center. What I think the architecture conveyed is, that this is an important, institutional building. It also kind of projected an imperial quality, I think, a British quality, telling the children of British immigrants, hey, you might be in far off Calgary, Alberta now, but you're still in the British Empire. Mm. And to those who came from elsewhere, my thinking is the message was to them, the building's message was, you're in the British Empire now.
Right.
You're still home.
Yes.
I wonder about, we had a massive project with the historic part of City Hall that Calgarians will know, not the big blue building that's behind it. What other kinds of things, I guess, is there a lifetimes or a life cycle on the kind of, how sandstone is able to stand up to the weather, those kinds of, external factors? And what is the inventory of historic buildings in Calgary that are still standing that are sandstone related?
Yeah. Again, I'm no geologist, but sedimentary rock. It's the sandstone is sedimentary, which even though it hardens on exposure, it'll never hardens to be like granite. So it's subject to erosion. I don't know the exact lifespan, but I know, as one example, they used to use sandstone for tombstones in Union Cemetery here in Calgary, right. Probably also the Catholic Cemetery, St. Mary's Roman Catholic Cemetery. And if you go and look at some of the early ones, they're so badly eroded that you cannot read the inscription. And in some cases, they've had to be repeated on brass plaques that were later added to the stone. So that just tells you what's happening to the buildings. So that they had to go far afield to find replacement stone for the stone on City Hall is just like you were saying, Dominic, that that this sedimentary stone erodes. I don't know to what extent that led to the demolition of so many of the sandstone buildings that used to be in Calgary. I think that was just a matter of progress, you know, wanting larger buildings or wanting new. Not there was a time, say mid-century in the last century, when I don't think a lot of people valued what was old or original or authentic. They just wanted to get rid of the past and be a forward-looking society. I don't have the numbers, but I understand it was something like, say, 200, 250 buildings built out of sandstone, and many, many more that were partly, you know, partly brick, partly sandstone, let's say. We're down to a few. So if you were to walk around along Stephen Avenue, you'd see quite a few. You'd see the old Hudson's Bay store that later became a Royal Bank. It's now an ATB, I think. You'd see the Norman Block and the Clarence Block built by Senator Lougheed. So there are quite a few, but really only a fraction of what there was. And some of the gorgeous ones have been lost, and this led to, in the 1950s, when Senator Patrick Burns, he was one of the big four that backed the original Calgary Stampede, later became a Canadian senator. He was the guy who put together Burns Meats, a massive corporation. He had a sandstone mansion on 4th Street Southwest, 12th mm-hmm. Avenue. The only commission in Calgary of the architect who also designed the Empress Hotel in Victoria and the BC legislature, a really, really beautiful building, torn down in the 1950s, 1956. Mm-hmm. And then a couple of years later, the old courthouse was also demolished, a beautiful building with rounded arches, a landmark since 1890 when it was completed. And this excited kind of a preservation movement. You had people like Grant McEwen and Mary Dover, who were on city council, who objected to this, said, Calgary is losing its character, and this we don't recognize the value of what we're destroying, and we have to stop. Unfortunately, we didn't. So up until, I don't know when the last sandstone building was demolished, but it went on for many, many years after that, including the 1970s when the old General Hospital was torn down in Victoria Park. Mm-hmm. That became the Rundle Ruins. It was sort of a compromise in the end between preservationists who wanted to keep the building and the owners of the site. It was a seniors lodge. So they compromised and mostly tore it down, but left a deliberate ruin as a folly.
That's awesome. Some of them as well also have been repurposed into other things. The King Edward School is now C-Space, which is a local arts incubator. Super cool building, what they've done in there. But you see them all around in Inglewood, downtown. It's pretty, pretty cool history for Calgary, yeah, for sure.
And one of those things that some of the sandstone was repurposed from torn down buildings is, of course, the sandstone house at Heritage Park. And Harry actually alerted my team to the fact that this year our sandstone house had its 50th anniversary. Harry, do you mind telling us a little bit more about the sandstone house on the park?
Sure. It was such a pleasant surprise when I was reading about it and found that it was the 50th anniversary, which is pretty significant. So I contacted you, Kasia, because I'm the editor of Alberta History, which is the quarterly journal of the Historical Society of Alberta. So I thought this would be a great opportunity if someone at the park wanted to write about the story of this exhibit on its 50th anniversary and the backstory of the building on which it's based, and that it would be a nice partnership between the Historical Society of Alberta and Heritage Park, and to get a little more variety in the sort of stable of writers who contribute to Alberta history to include museum curators. So Katie Braithwaite wrote the piece for the journal, and it really ties in to the history of the use of sandstone in Calgary, because the house, it was one of many built out of sandstone in the 1890s, and you know, in the decade before and the decade or so following it, up until the end, the closure of the last quarry was in 1915. So it was a notable example, but it wasn't the Lougheed House, let's say, which remains extant. But it became particularly notable, although people should remember it for Marion Carson, who lived there, who was a longtime social activist who really did a lot for improving conditions, for women and children in Calgary. Lived there longer, certainly, than the McLeods did. But Colonel James Farquharson McLeod, whom everyone knows from history, it was he who eventually led the Northwest Mounted Police. He who established relations with the chiefs of the Siksika Nation, Southern Alberta, Stoney Nakoda, and was pretty instrumental in the negotiation of Treaty 7. And he and his family lived in the house in the last 4 months of his life. Mm-hmm. He died while he was living there. So a short-term tenant, but it really made that impression on the memory of the house, which remained extant until the late 1950s. And in fact, for the last 8 years of the house, the occupants were Colonel McLeod's son, Norman, and Norman's wife, Dodo. And so they lived there until Cam Spruill, a geologist, bought it to demolish it. He wanted to put up an office block, which he did. Now, at that time, Colonel McLeod's granddaughter, Mary Dover, was on city council, and she was one of the people who was crying out for heritage preservation. So she put her foot down and said, no, not on my watch, pretty much. So the house was taken apart. But under this kind of influence, they saved the stones. Unfortunately, the stones were saved improperly. I think they were stored in an open field. Mm-hmm. And if memory serves, they were stored perpendicular to the way they were laid down as sediments. So a decade later, when Heritage Park, recognizing the significance of sandstone construction and sandstone buildings in Calgary, wanted to use materials to reconstruct a house, and they chose this house, the sandstone house. So Vera Burns, who was the park's historian, went to see the stones that Cam Spruill had saved from demolishing the original sandstone house. But they were unusable. They had eroded too badly. What the park did instead was to collect stones from other demolished buildings, ones they could use, recruited Dodo McLeod, the daughter-in-law of Colonel McLeod, who had lived in the house for 8 years, to come up with the design from her recollections, from family photographs. Without the use of the architectural drawings, there were architects involved in designing the house, but the drawings no longer existed. So they designed the new house, acquired the stone, must have got the people with the heritage trades, because there certainly remain stonemasons who work with sandstone, and took a couple of years. They started in 1970 and opened the exhibit in 1973.
Awesome. So it's a long story of just kind of various different factors that we have just talked about, kind of culminating into the building of the sandstone house here on the park. There are all kind of influences, of course, McLeod giving Calgary its name, being Scottish, all these different things, which is kind of cool that kind of tell those stories here on the park today.
Yes, and exactly so. I think they chose the example well, you know, that McLeod, and they recognized it at the time. Vera Burns wrote an unpublished memoir, and she says, you know, look, there, this represents life in Calgary. This represents the sandstone. It represents the kind of gingerbread decoration on the buildings and life in Calgary. This was a family home.
Yeah.
So I think you're right, Kasaya. This it's representative of so much. And of course, there's another 50 years here. There's the sandstone house in Heritage Park. Is its own entity.
Exactly.
Yeah. Well, Perry, you might not be a geologist, but you certainly know your history of sandstone. That's for sure.
Yes. Thank you so much for sharing the story with us of sandstone in the city of Calgary. We're so grateful to you for coming to talk with us and for alerting us to the 50th anniversary of the Sandstone House at Heritage Park.
I'm so happy to do so. Thank you very much, Kasaya and Dominic.
Thanks, Harry.